Ready to roll. Okay. Well, let me welcome you to the Culture of Honor. This is a great class. And everything that you have heard thus far from Apostle and Dr. Walker, all of the studies are divinely connected. So you may hear some things repeated because all of the studies are connected and there's a continuation of the learning. So the importation that you'll be receiving from the Culture of Honor will be challenging. It will be mindset changing. And so we ask you to be open-minded, opening your spirit to make changes. Apostle made mention of change, that without change, we can't grow if we're not open to expand and increase. So God wants us to always be open for the preceding word that will proceed out of his mouth. So we won't get stuck in religion and doctrines of men. But we always be open to the things of God. So I teach just a little different because I always give you all the answers. So you want to go searching. So you can write these answers down and then we'll go back and do the study. So I make it pretty easy for you. So you'll know exactly what's on the quiz. There are no surprises. There's no trick questions on there. So, and always the following day, your questions will be placed on the web, so you'll be able to go back and take the quizzes, okay? And exactly what you write down is exactly what you'll probably be seeing on your quiz. So it's pretty simple. To fail my class is totally impossible. Totally impossible. So we make it as easy as possible. Okay, so if you, did y'all get your books yet, The Culture of Honor? Not yet. Okay, all right. Okay, well, just take good notes and you'll be right ready for class two and you'll go right to your book and find everything once you get it in alignment. Okay, the introduction is where we're going to begin. Okay, so when you get your books, look into the introduction because that's where all the statements we're going to produce tonight or the teaching we're going to do tonight comes from the introduction. Okay, I find that's very important because everything in any book is built on the introduction. You know, it's the foundation. It is the mindset of the writer or the author instructing you what you can expect in the book. And from that point, you get outlines, information about what he told you previous in the introduction. Okay, so we'll write some things down about the culture of honor that you really need to know about before we get deeper into the book, because we get deeper into the book, we get deeper into definition and definement. Okay, so in the introduction part, the author, Danny Silk, who is the author and a pastor of a church in California that we are called Bethel Church in Redding, California. This is where the pastor who wrote the book and authored the book is from and pastors this church. And in his church, he's created a culture called the culture of honor. And so he teaches from the aspect of the culture of honor, of what they have created in their church in an environment that produce wholesomeness and the other things I will be telling you about as we go into deeper depths of it. So he starts off in the introduction as this. He said, within these pages, you will find what one of my friends called a recipe. The ingredients in this recipe are a set of beliefs and practices. A culture is built up on a set of beliefs and practices. Make note of that. A culture is built upon a set of beliefs and practices. Whether you come from a Baptist church, where we deal with religion, if you come from a Baptist church, you deal Methodist church, Protestant church, or congregational denomination, all of these denominations, no matter which one you go to, all of them have a set of beliefs and things they practice. This is what caused them to become a culture. And that not only extends to religion, but it also extends to what's outside of Christianity, where we deal with other cultures as well. You know, we used to call it race, you know, a white, black, Hispanics, or whatever. And there are cultures. All of us have cultures, a set of beliefs and practices that we are raised up, we was taught as our training and a way of life. And so it is with Christianity. All the denominations have a beliefs and a practice which develop them. And they teach those practices, and they expect every person who's a partaker of that congregation to practice the teachings. Where Jesus himself demanded us to practice his teachings. You cannot be a disciple if you're not following the practices of the teacher and practicing what he's teaching you. So as Christians, we practice and believe what the Bible teaches as biblical truths of God's word and how God wants us to live. We practice that on a daily basis. So it becomes a culture. Christianity is a culture. Christianity is a culture. It's a set of beliefs and practices that we do. Okay? The second thing he says to us, the steps in this recipe combines these ingredients in such a way that they create something powerful, an environment that is uncommon on the earth today. It is an environment that attracts and hosts the presence of God. The culture of honor is an environment that attracts the presence of God. It attracts the presence of God, and it hosts his presence because we practice his teachings. The culture is an environment that attracts and hosts the presence of God. Put that in, that's number two. Make sure you got that in your notes. He goes on to say, we at Bethel Church in Redding, California, call this environment the culture of honor. See, we call this a culture of honor. By no means is our recipe the only one that creates a culture that hosts the presence of God, but we can tell you that it is one that works. It's one that works because they have evidence, demonstration, and proof of what we're going to be learning. They have seen it in their church. They've seen it in the environment. And so that's why they say it works. So this is some of the things that we'll be practicing as we understand the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistical, and the pastor and teacher, the fivefold gifts of the Ephesians. As we understand those and identify those, we will find that they was instituted by God to create this environment, to create this environment. And so we'll see some of the purpose of why it is in the Bible and why we follow the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. Okay, so it says when God first speaks of honor, make a note of this. When God first speaks of honor in the Ten Commandments, he promised that long life will be our reward for honoring our parents. God promises that honor carries reward. Number three, God promises that honor carries reward. And we'll find this through the whole book that we're going to be learning about the culture of honor, that when we learn how to honor, that God rewards us. That there's a reward in our family, there's a reward in our businesses, there's a reward in our ministries when we learn how to properly honor each other. Honor carries reward. Number four, he says, we often say life flows through honor. This is one of the highlights of their ministry, that life flows through honor. This is a powerful statement that we'll see through the book continuously. Life flows through honor. The principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. That's a lot, so I try to go over slow for you to pick up every word of it. It's important, it's a definition. See, the principle of honor states, the principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve. And to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. Do I need to repeat? Anybody? Okay, repeat the whole statement, right? Okay, we just go over slow again. We're going to make sure you got it because it's important. It's going to be important. The principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve. And to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. Okay, we got it? Hopefully. Okay. Again, you'll be able to go back on the site, the web, and listen to this over and over again as needed to prepare for your quiz, because the questions on the quizzes will also be the questions on your exam. Okay, so when it comes on the examination time, if you've already took the quizzes, you already pretty much know what's going to be on the exam. But they pretty much verbatim, okay? So that's why we ask you to go back over the quizzes, practice the quizzes, and take the test on those quizzes, and you're going to be fine when examination comes. You'll do well. Do well, no problem. Now, why is this statement made? Because it's very important that when we recognize who people are, that it also honors the person, because we identify who they are. And because we identify who they are, it brings a respect or a reverence to how we relate to them. Okay? And how we relate to people and honor them and respect them causes what's on their life and in the office in which they serve, that anointing or grace that's on that office, to come upon our life. That's why Apostle Thompson so clearly was stating to us tonight that what's on his life will eventually be upon us by the time we leave out of this class, these schools of training, the ministry of training, the anointing, the presence of God, the apostolic grace will be on your life, because by sitting under him and honor him properly respecting his office and his call and anointing God has put upon his life will cause that grace to be upon you. And without you really recognizing, because it's not in a goosebump feeling, that anointing will be saturating you. And before you know it, you'll be talking just like it. Yes, sir. And seeing demonstrations and the power of God flowing through your own personal life, just as the wisdom and the Spirit of God flows on him. It's going to manifest. But you got to stay in honor. That's the only way to get it. You know, some people think, well, I give money into it. I give money into it. That's an aspect, but honor covers way beyond the money. Honor covers way beyond the money. You know, when we learn to honor, it's the gift. It's not what's in his hand. It's what's on his life that you're after. Okay? And so you got to keep that in focus. When the people that you're following, the people that you're admiring and looking up to for your career choice or your business adventure, the people that you're learning from have experience, they have influence, and they have the goods. by sticking close to them, that same spirit of influence come on you. Because you're connected to it. You're connected to it. It's the Elijah Elisha anointing that will transfer to your life. So honor it. All life flows through honor. Okay. So that was number four, right? Okay. Number five, honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationship. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. You cannot have a successful relationship without honor. It's just totally impossible. Whether it's in ministry, whether it's in a husband and wife, parents and children, student and teacher, it doesn't matter. If you're going to have a successful relationship with anyone, one of the things that has to be there is honor. It has to be there. You have to know how to honor. Respect the person. Respect his anointing. Respect his office. And when you recognize, well, for a short example, we may not, Brother Dad Thompson said something about tonight about Brother Swaggart, Brother Jimmy Swaggart. He said, whether you like him or not, you can't deny that he has the revelation about the cross. And I've studied for almost 40 years myself in ministry, and I have not seen anyone with a greater level of anointing or revelation about the cross than Brother Swaggart. He got it. And we can't deny that. Okay? So we have to understand that the same thing about you may not care for our president, his ways or his attitude about what he does, but he's in the office. You got to respect the office. You see, and you got to recognize that office. And so no matter people like him or not, when that office shows up, it's given reverence. It's given reverence around the world. It's given reverence because he's in the office. So that's the same thing about honoring the men of God and the women of God who serve in the fivefold gifting. And not only the fivefold gifting, but those who serve in your local church as part of the Urshah board. Those who serve as musicians, those who serve in other aspects of administration of your local church, they have to be honored because these people are walking in position of delegated authority from the leader. They are appointed by him and chosen by him or her to be in that position, so respect and honor has to be given to them. Then greater than that, each member has to be respected as royalty. As royalty. Each member has to be respected and honored as royalty. And so we have to understand that a pastor who has daughters and sons in his ministry must always stay focused that every young lady in his church and every woman in his church is his daughter. You know, she's just not Elizabeth. Or somebody he knew from high school or had some kind of co-worker relationship with. No, that person in his church is his daughter. And he must respect them and never cross the line. As the young lady who's the daughter must always see him as a spiritual father and never cross that line. But always honor it. That's my spiritual dad. And I respect him, and I'm not going to cross that line and do something that I'm not supposed to be doing to be dishonorable or disrespectful for his office. It's the same thing. It has to be an area of honor that even the sons and daughters in the church realize, that's my brother. He's a member of the church. He's a part of our congregation. He's a part of the body of Christ. That's my brother, and that's my sister, and we treat each other with that, and we recognize that level. And so I would recommend as a recipe of the culture of honor that we become knowledgeable that when we see each other and greet each other, it's brother whoever and sister whoever. We recognize them as that and say, well, how you doing, Louise? No, that is a disrespect to be calling me by a pet name or a name we grew up with high school or in the community with. The culture has to recognize each office and each individual because of their importance and their value to the congregation and the body of Christ. It has to be recognized. And so we will practice even in this room so that we can get this down, that when we are greeting each other, it's brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. So therefore, we will keep focused by recognizing and giving respect and honor to that person for who they are. It's called honor. It's called honor. And that way, I never walk out of line with you because I recognize who you are. I recognize who you are. Okay? It's like being a Christian. And you walking through the mall and you see other sisters and brother from your local church, you know, you make sure you ain't doing the wrong stuff. You know, you get straight right quick. So when you see them, you start straightening up because you're giving respect and honor to them because you don't want them to see you in that light outside the church. No, I am what I am in church. I am that when you ever see me. That's what you always want them to see and know about you. Okay, so that's very important. Okay, so that was number 5, right? Okay, I got to keep up with numbers because I don't really keep up with this stuff. But this is what the Word of God says here. He says, the key here is accurately acknowledging who people are. We can only do this when we recognize their God-given identities and their roles. When we recognize their God-given identities and their roles, this when we can really create the culture of honor. Recognize who you are. What, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be the evangelist. You don't have to be a prophet or an apostle. You are a member of the body of Christ. And when God said, touch not my anointed, he's talking about every member in the body of Christ, not just the prophets, but every member in the body of Christ. Says this is what we see in the statement of Jesus. Jesus mentioned this. See, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. See, even Jesus recognized that honor and identifying accurately who people are and their callings and their gifts in the office in which they're served causes honor to that person and also causes your life to be blessed with honor. And that's why it is important that we're going to learn who the apostle is, who the prophet is, who the pastor and evangelists and teachers are. We're going to learn the fivefold giftings and what they do, what they are called to do, and how we are to respect these gifts God gave to the church, not men. God gave them to the church, and they are called by God, and we for to have high respect for these men and women of God who walk in these offices, as well as they have respect for themselves. It's hard to respect somebody who don't respect themselves. So it's on both sides that the pastor and these fivefold gifts, callings, must recognize and walk and carry themselves in a respectable way so that we can respect them and we can honor them, for that's men and women of God. Very important on both ends of it, the spectrum. Okay, so that could be very important. Also is mentioned here that names and titles are important. Just make a note of that. Names and titles are important. Because they give identity. Names and titles gives identity. He says a mother, father, son, daughter, apostle, prophet, Christian, human being, such names define a person's role and identity when used correctly. It identifies who these people are. Names and titles identify who these people are, and it also identifies their role. Oh, that's another important thing you have to understand as a Christian, as a believer. It identifies people. Okay? So you have to not step outside the box, but you have to realize this for those of you who may be single, those of you who are in courting someone, you have to be mindful. You have to be mindful, even in that degree of relationship with someone, who you are. That person that you're courting, the person that you're dating, looking for a future with that person, that is during that time that we have to establish who we are. And in that identity or who I am is how I'm going to behave toward you. It reveals my identity. It reveals my character. It reveals my attitude. It's all in you recognizing that I am a Christian. Number one, which means I'm Christ-like, which means you ain't getting nothing until we get married. Clear cut. So don't even go there with me. Okay? I'm not going to cross that line. I'm not going to let you cross that line. You see, that has to be revealed because we think for some reason it is woven in our thinking that relationship is outside of Christianity. That God really don't get involved. That God really don't have no regulations about it. But he does. Because it's who you are. Our bodies are the temple of Christ. So we have to realize, even as teens and youth, that when we're in that part of our life, in the relationship with people, we have to realize that our identity has to be respected. And we must respect who we are. Because we represent Christ. We represent Christ. And the person we're talking to, that's why Paul says to us, don't be unequally yoked. Jesus said, don't be unequally yoked. Don't let darkness and light doesn't have a relationship with each other. Why? Because our identities are different. Yeah. What we believe is different. And we have to respect that place of who we are. So it's very important, and we cannot take that lightly, especially as people of light, kingdom sons and daughters. As we are recognized, or who Christ says we are. We are royal priesthood. We are chosen. Okay? And so God identifies who we are. So that means when I'm walking with someone in a relationship, that light has to be on 24/7, that they always see Christ in me. They always see Christ in me. So that always has to be on. So when we're talking about names and titles and this type of stuff, it goes in every area of our life, not just in ministry or just being at church. It's in every part of our life. Very, very important that we come to grips with this and take a stand on who we are in Christ Jesus. He says such names define a person's role and identity, and when used correctly, establish God's design relationship in which specific rewards, when it's used correctly, identified correctly, it says, it established God's design relationships in which specific rewards are given and received to build and strengthen us. There's something about the power of connection. It's the power of connection and honoring that connection, having reverence for that connection. And we're touch bases in the Moses and Joshua relationship. Elijah and Elisha relationship. We'll touch bases in that Ruth and Naomi, their relationship is because these men who followed, honored correctly and properly, that they was able to receive the anointing or the gift off of these people's lives because they recognized they had honor for them. Now, make another statement, honor looked just like worship. Honor looked like worship. Because people would say, well, y'all over that church, y'all worship that man. Or y'all worshiping them people. Y'all doing this for them. And y'all cleaning and y'all cooking and y'all giving them money and so on every Sunday. Y'all go to church. Y'all doing this and y'all doing all that for them people. Y'all buying them cars and everything else. Honor looked like worship. It looked just like worship. So people who don't know no better think you're worshiping the man, but really all you're doing is honoring what God said. All you're doing is honoring what God said. God says when we water others' people, we're watered ourselves. And if you're not faithful in that which belongs to another man, who's going to give you what's rightfully yours? So we have to understand that God brings a connection, and in that connection, it has to be a level of respect and honor in order for us to receive what's on their life. What's on their life? It's always the God principle. And when we learn this, we're going to create a culture of honor where we respect and reverence everybody in the congregation. With royalty, recognize they're God chosen, they're God sent. That's my brother, that's my sister, that's my spiritual mom, that's my spiritual dad. We say we need to treat the elder men as fathers and the older women as mothers. He said that's why we need to honor them. And when we do that, there's a reward that's going to hit your life. And once they come on your life, it's death for life. And it's more than money can ever get you. It's favor that will show up on your line. Promotion will show up on your line. God began to do things for you so unexpectedly. Ephesians 3:20, that scripture that says, now to him who is able to do more exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, that scripture will come alive. That scripture, Ephesians 3:20 tonight is our meditation. Put meditation scripture. It's Ephesians 3:20. Because on all of your quizzes that I give you, it's going to be a meditation scripture. Okay? Meditation scripture is Ephesians 3:20. Know that God is going to favor you because you honor. Because you honor. God said if you honor your mother and father, that's a promise of long life. He put that in the Ten Commandments. And that's the first commandment with a promise. If you learn to honor your parents, he said that's going to be the reward of long life. A long life. You see, when you're honoring your parents, you really don't want your parents to labor hard or pick up nothing. When you learn to honor your parent correctly. Because you don't want your mom lifting on that. Mom, I got that. You know, I can take care of that. Where you want to go? I take you. No, you ain't got to go to the store. I go myself. What you want? You ain't got to pay for it. I got it. I got that. Yeah. See, that becomes the place of honor and respect and reverence that you have not only for your parents and your man of God. This idea, I don't want my man of God to want for nothing. Yeah. I listen for opportunities to be a blessing. Yeah. When he's speaking stuff, I'm looking for that opportunity. Okay, God, how can I get in on that? You see, because even though he's already a multimillionaire, I still don't want him to pay for nothing. It's the level of honor that you must have for your man of God to make sure whatever pastor needs done, we got that. You tell us what your vision is, we're going to run with it. You see, you ain't got to do that camera, pastor. I got the camera. I learned how to run the camera. Whatever it is you need done, we're going to make it happen. That's the kind of honor you got to have for your parents and your men and women of God. And your brothers and sisters, always there looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. Because when I learn to bless you, God is always on the other side causing somebody to bless me. And promotion comes through that. The reward is always greater than the seed you're going to sow. The reward is always greater than the seed you're going to sow. So if we're going to build strong relationships and strong connection, we must walk through honor. Okay, maybe this number six or number seven. I don't know if I ever gave you number six. We're on number six, okay? Number six, a culture of honor is created as a community of people, a culture of honor is created as a community of people learns to discern, we'll go back over it, and receive people in their God-given identity. It is created, the culture of honor is created as a community of people learns to discern. And receive people in their God-given identities. If I need to repeat that, I will. Okay, we got it. Everybody like we got it? Okay. This will be our closing statement. That's number six. We're going to have to come to grips with understanding that every person that comes through the door in the culture of honor is to be given the highest honor. Doesn't matter. The Bible teaches that God has no respect of person. You can't love some people and dislike other people. Not in the kingdom. Not as sons and daughters. We're going to have to make a transition in our hearts, a transition in our thinking, that every person that walks through the door, every Christian, every person really on the planet has to be respected. Even if they don't respect themselves, I need to show them respect because of who I am. I would not dishonor them. Okay? So that honor has to always be there. And reverence has to always be there. And my honor to my leader, your apostle, my apostle tonight is we never let the clock run out on us. And I got 17 seconds and I'm through. All right. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful night. Okay. We love you guys, man. Y'all have a blessed night. All right.